ध्यायामोजवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीनैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So after explaining in brief about a person who doesn't follow Brahma Vritti and a person who follows Brahma Vritti, Shankara says, what would this Brahma Vritti finally lead a person to? And not only that, in the next two shlokas, Shankara is also saying that or giving a warning that we may think we have learned things, we have understood things, we have realized, but that is far away from realized state, that is quite far from always having Brahma Vritti. So always having Brahma Vritti is different from trying to speak about Brahman, or always speaking about Brahman is very different from being immersed in Brahman. So that's what Shankara is concentrating in the next two shlokas, which we will see. Yesham vritti samavriddha paripakva cha sapunah te vai sad brahmatam praptha netare shabdavadinah. So yesham vrittihi sama, एषां वृत्तिः समा, हूज़ वृत्ति, दैट मीन्स दोज पीपल, दोज साधकस हू हैव बीन फॉलोइंग ब्रह्म वृत्ति, एंड दिस वृत्ति इज समा, मीन्स कंटिन्यूअस, स्टडी, कॉन्स्टेंट. फॉर सच पीपल दैट वृत्ति बिकम्स वृद्धा एंड परिपक्वा. वृद्धा मीन्स इट बिकम्स due to constant practice. Vriddha means, vriddha means old, but here it means the vritti or practice of the vritti becomes old. That means a person has been following the or practicing the vritti for quite a long period. For such a person, the vriddhi, for a person who has continuously sama, constantly vriddha for a long period, and paripakva, it has become matured. Just sa punaha, sa पुनः, सो एषां वृत्तिः समा सा वृद्धा परिपक्वा च पुनः. हूज़ वृत्ति और दोज पीपल हु हैव बीन फॉलोइंग वृत्ति फॉर अ कॉन्स्टेंट पीरियड ऑफ टाइम एंड फॉर अ लॉन्ग टाइम सिंस लाइक लॉन्ग सिंस लॉन्ग दे हैव बीन डूइंग इट, दैट बिकम्स मैच्योर्ड. सो the three qualities that Shankara speaks about vritti here is, it's not just following Brahma vritti, but sama, consistently following vriddha over a period of time, and thereby paripakva, thereby it becomes matured. Matured means what would happen? Even as a fruit which becomes ripe, it automatically falls off from the tree. Similarly, a person who follows Brahma vritti, a person who is following Purnatvam, he becomes Purnam. So Tevai, they alone, what does happen for them? They Sat Brahmatam Prapta, they attain Sat Brahmatam, the state of Brahman. So following Brahma Vritti is different from following Brahma Vritti for a consistent period of time. Constantly or continuously following, that is sama, and for a period of time vriddha, and paripakva, it has become matured. At that time such a person becomes Brahman. So Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati. So a person who contemplates on Brahman, he becomes Brahman due to sama, consistent practice, vriddha for a long period of time, and paripakva, it becomes matured. Na itare, not for others. Others are who? Shabdavadinaha. Those people who just speak. Those people who use Shabdham, those people who proclaim words about Brahman, but haven't practiced Brahma Vritti, such people don't attain Brahman. So what is the speciality of such people, Shabdavadinaha? They will just be proclaiming. They will be just making words. So they will be giving discourses. They will be speaking about Brahman. But they are not following it internally. They are not following Brahma Vritti. And following Brahma Vritti doesn't necessarily mean that a person has to speak about Brahman, because following Brahma Vritti is internal. It's not external at all. That's the reason why Janaka, when the story in Devi Bhagavatam goes that Vyasa wanted Shuka, his son Shuka, to get married, but Shuka wouldn't listen to him. Because though Vyasa was a realized saint, yet the attachment, the affection of father, my father, was a bondage there. Therefore, Shuka couldn't consider his father as a realized saint. Okay, you don't need to ask. This is contrary to what Bhagavatam says. Srimad Bhagavatam says that Shuka was a Brahma Rishi. He was born a Jivan Mukta and all. So these various illustrations, these various variations in the life of Shuka, as seen in various Purana, itself is a testimony to the fact, to the truth that Shuka wasn't affected at all. So there can be only one explanation for various or different variations in the life history or in the life of Shuka as proclaimed or propounded in the various scriptures, only if he was a realized saint and unaffected by all activities. So the story goes that since Vyasa was his father, my father bondage didn't allow Shuka to understand or apprehend the importance of Vyasa. Therefore, Vyasa sent him to Janaka. Janaka was very popular, very famous at that time. So he sent to Janaka. So the story goes that he went to Janaka and he was made to wait. Like Amma says this story a lot of times. He was made to wait 7 days at the entrance. So Shuka goes there. When Shuka goes there, Janaka, the servants or doorkeepers, the Dwarapalakas, they inform Janaka. So Janaka says, oh, Shuka has come, that is fine. So this is part of, like, partly in Bhagavatam as well, the same story. So let him wait. So put a chair there and let him wait. So it is said that Shuka was given a chair outside the palace, though Janaka was inside, but they gave him a chair. Shuka waited there for 7 days, and after that, then Janaka thought, okay, let him come inside. So they called him inside and gave him a chair inside. After that, Janaka said, take him to the palace, give him a lot of worldly pleasures. So it is said that at that time, the various nartakis, various people like over there, various beautiful women who looked after Janaka as well as his guests, they tried to seduce Shuka. So it's the same thing that we see in films as well. Seduction was not something that was unknown in ancient time. So they tried to seduce Shuka as much as possible, but Shuka was unperturbed. That's the right word to be used. He was not at all affected. Even when he was made to sit outside, inside, and then he was given worldly pleasures, though Janaka knew that he wants to take sannyas, yet Janaka's, like, Shuka wasn't affected at all. And then finally Janaka receives him and says, oh, you are waiting. I didn't know that. I am really sorry for the same thing. If it was our case, if we have to wait 5 minutes for something, if we have to wait for 5 minutes, like if we message one of our friends and we wait for 5 minutes, then it will be as if, oh, he's making me wait so much time. And then after that, he's telling what? I didn't know that you were there. He knew and then he still did the same mistake. Will start shouting. But when Janaka said the same thing, Shuka was again unaffected. There was only bliss in his face. And then Janaka said, "Why have you come here? You didn't have to come here because you're already realized. You don't have anything else to know." So this story, or like this part, the last part shows how a Jivan Mukta would behave in the entire world, even though he may be blessed or he may be bestowed with various pleasures of the world, yet he will ignore them. Because for a person who has the Samantaka jewel, all the jewel of the world will be futile, will be invalid. Similarly, for a person who has achieved Brahmajnanam, who is always situated in Brahman, who has got the Anandam, Brahmanandam, he has got Vishayanandam, or worldly pleasure is not at all useful for such a person. So he will not go behind that. That is what the last part of the story shows or portrays. And the first part of the story where Vyasa sends Shuka to Janaka. So Janaka was not a person who was speaking about Brahman, giving discourses about Brahman. He was living life like any Chakravarti, any king, or any worldly person would do. Yet he was a realized saint. So just because a person is realized doesn't mean that he has to speak about Brahman. People might speak, people might not. Amma doesn't speak about Brahman in her normal lectures. If we go and ask, "Amma, I have a problem, like my father is against my wishes. So Amma, what can I do?" She will not say, "Oh, your father is an illusion. Everything is an illusion. Your father, you have got hundreds of fathers. Therefore, don't worry. Just ignore him." Amma will never say that, because she knows that we cannot apprehend it from our level. Therefore, she will say, "Oh, is that the case? Try to bring your father here. I'll talk to him. I'll try to convince him." So Amma will try slowly take us from our ignorance level to the realized state. So just because she doesn't reply by saying that everything is Sakshi, you are the Sakshi, you are Brahman, which is real, everything Jagat is Mithya, therefore go and hit your father, slap your father, she will not say that. So just because she doesn't speak about Brahman doesn't mean she isn't realized. So it is both ways. So we cannot just go by words. A person might be speaking about Brahman, but he may not know Brahman at all. Nayam atma pravachane na labhyo na medhyana bahuna shrutena yameve shabrunute tena labhyah tasyesha atma vivrunute tanum swam. There is a famous shloka in the Kathopanishad and Mundakopanishad. Na ayam atma pravachane na labhyah. This atman is not known through pravachanam. Na medhya, not through one's intellect. Na bahuna shrutena, not through listening. Oh, I have listened for I listened to all of Paramartha's CDs. I've been listening it since 30 years. Just because I have listened to all of Paramartha's CDs, just because I have read Ramakrishna Ananda Puri's, all of his works, and I like it, just because I have read all of Amma's bhajans, I know Amma's bhajans, I know Amma's Ashtotram by heart, just because of each of these things, it doesn't mean we are realized. So I may be giving hundreds of discourses, I may be using my intellect. My intellect might be so sharp that I can even interpret Advaita Siddhi. So there are people who have learned Advaita Siddhi, and like people who have gone to professors of Advaita Siddhi and learned. But we know what is their state. So it's not Nayam Atma Pravachane Nalabhyaha. This Atman is not attained to through Pravachana. Just because I give Prabhashanam doesn't mean I am realized. Just because I have a strong intellect, I can use tarkam, you can use logic, doesn't mean I am realized. Just because I listen, I do lot of shravanam, I go to very many, many discourses, I have like gone for hundreds of Bhagavata Saptaham, doesn't mean I am realized. Then what does realization, how do we realize the self? Yameivesha vrinate tena labhyaha. That person who ardently seeks the self, he realizes. And for such a person, tasyesha atma vivrinate tanum swam. For him, the self reveals his nature. So that is what Shankara is here telling. If we have to realize Brahman, we need to have Brahmavritti, And Brahmavritti doesn't necessarily means we have to speak about Brahman. So there are people, Shabdavadinaha, people who just go on speaking about scriptures, quoting thousands of scriptures, yet falling down, not being able to stand, not being able to withstand the spiritual path, falling down and proclaiming themselves to be spiritual. So we consider ourselves as devoted Shishyas of one or the other Guru. We don't fall under the feet of Sadgurus like Amma. So we ourselves make mistakes and then blame others. So we don't fall under the feet of Amma. We know Amma is a Mahatma, but we don't want to fall under her feet. We know that Tejomayananda is a Jivan Mukta, yet we don't want to take the Vedanta course and fall under his feet. Then what do we want? We want some worldly person who is speaking daily about some topic, who is posting some articles in the net, some Srimad Bhagavatam, some discourses, some quotations, some bhajans, and such a person we seek. Why? Because we are in the world, we want to be in the world, we want worldly things, and we want jnanam as well. So we seek such a person. As it suits us, we seek. And we never know whether such a person is realized or not. Okay, can leave out the fact that such a person may not be realized, but even if he is not realized, we consider such a person as our guru and say, we are Shishyas. I am your disciple. I will obey your words. Yet when it comes to putting the words of the guru into practice, everything vanishes. So the guru says, join Vedanta course, yet, and parents say, don't join. Parents' words will be taken because they are Brahman, Guru is not Brahman. And then finally saying that I had Guru Bhakti, still it didn't work, and then blame the Guru. So this is what happens in the world. We ourselves fall under the feet of, or we ourselves fall under the clutch of such false gurus, claim and then claim ourselves to be false Shishyas, though we know that we are not real Shishyas, yet we consider ourselves as Shishyas and in front of the Guru, praising the Guru. After that, everything vanishes, everything goes. And we learn some scriptures by some Sadgurus or Amma's grace or any other Mahatma's grace. We learn some scriptures from the Guru and then we start our own school. We start our own school, our own followers, our own disciples. And they say, okay, I have my group. I have few friends with whom I discuss. That is enough for me. I don't need realization. I read books. That is enough for me. I will listen to my parents. I will not listen to what Shankara says. So these are people, Shabdavadinaha, who use mere words. So Guru Bhavam, or not Guru Bhavam, Shishya Bhavam, or Guru Bhakti is not something which can be explained in words. Scriptures speak about many places where the Mahatmyam of a Guru has been explained. Guru Gita explains it beautifully, but the peak of it comes when the Shishya understands that he cannot but be indebted to the Guru for his entire life. And each word of the Guru, each word or each advice or each command uttered from the Guru's word would become the life of a Shishya. That is the life of the Shishya. If the Guru says, do this, the Shishya doesn't counter question. Shishya doesn't even think twice. So there is a beautiful incident that is mentioned in the autobiography of a yogi. So as the history goes, Mahavatar Babaji had one of his disciples as Lahiri Mahasaya, and then there was like Yukteswar Giri or Paramahamsa Yogananda's guru. So when they were in Himalayas, Mahavatar Babaji never stayed in one place. He always used to roam places. So it's called Parivrajakan. So a sannyasi, or traditionally sannyasis are not supposed to stay in a place because of fear of getting attached to the place and the people around them. So at that time, once they were in a particular place, a person came to Mahavatar Babaji and he said, accept me as your disciple. I want to be your disciple. So Mahavatar Babaji then said, do you want to be my disciple? He said, yes, I want to be. Then Mahavatar Babaji said, They were sitting amidst various rocks. So Mahavatar Babaji said, "Jump from this cliff." The very next moment, the person jumped from the cliff and died. And then Mahavatar Babaji revived him and took him as his disciple. So the very next moment, or the very next moment Mahavatar Babaji uttered, or the very moment Mahavatar Babaji uttered, "Jump from the cliff," the person didn't even think as to what would happen. Oh, this person is telling me that I should jump from the cliff to become his disciple. If I jump from the cliff, I will die. If I die, then I will not become his disciple. Then why should I do it? There was no question. There was no doubt at all. That is real Guru Bhakti. So real Guru Bhakti is when a person heeds to the words of Guru. And for people who externally proclaim themselves to be Shishyas, following a Guru, following a person in the world as Guru, and not seeking Sadgurus as Amma and others, and still not following the Guru's words as well, and then just proclaiming various scriptures or quoting scriptures and saying, "I am realized. I know the truth. I can live in the world." So going against the Guru knows better, or as Amma says, Ishvara knows what is best for his children. So the Guru knows what is best for the disciple. So the disciple doesn't need to think, okay, what is the Guru doing, telling me to do? I'm not fit for that place. Should I take this or should I take that? He doesn't need to bother, because a Shishya is one who has completely surrendered to the Guru. Then there is no scope for Shishya's individual thinking. And the Guru knows more than enough, or more than well, or the Guru knows well as to what is good for the Shishya. So such people who claim themselves to be Shishyas and are not Shishyas, they are Shabdavadinaha. So they just proclaim words, and such people will never realize. So they andeneva niyamana yathandaha avidyayam antare vartamanaha. They are in ajnanam or avidya, and swayam dira panditam manyamanaha, and themselves they proclaim themselves to be brave and panditaha, scholars. Who are such people? Andhena eva niyamana yathandaha. They themselves are in ignorance, and if we seek such people, if we get the company of such people, they will not only themselves drown, but they will drown us as well. So Amrita Swarupananda says in one of his lectures that there will be many people, many false gurus in the world. People claiming to be gurus, people claiming to be learned, people quoting from scriptures and all. But we should never fall under the clutch of such people. So he says, like when we were kids, or consider that there is a group of kids. So there is a 1 year old kid, or 2 year old kid, and there is a 4 year old kid. So the 2 year old kid tries to walk, but it cannot really walk, or make it 1 year so that it cannot walk. Then the 4 year kid shows him, "Come on, I'll show you how you can walk." So if the 1 year kid believes the 4 year kid and catches hold of his hand, then we know what would really happen. So not only that, the 1 year kid will not walk, but he'll also fall down and injure himself. So similarly, we should be very careful in not falling under the clutch of a wrong guru. And it's very easy to find out people who have realized and people who haven't realized. People who have realized, danyaha vandyaha te bhuvanatraye. Whereas people who haven't done that, they haven't achieved sad brahmatam. So how can we know a brahmajnani? Vandyaha and danyaha. Not only that, he would have practiced Brahmavritti. So sama, vriddha, paripakva. Those are the three qualities which will lead a person to being a Brahmajnani. So if we want to become Brahmajnani, we need to follow these three qualities, or achieve these three qualities. If we need to find out a real guru, then we need to see whether he has done these three. He has these three qualities. He has achieved these three qualities, and is not speaking mere words. So Shabdavadinaha, how would a Shabdavadi, or a person who merely speaks, how would he behave? what would be his activities and what will happen to him? Kushala brahmavartayam vrittihina suraginah tepya jnanataya nunam punarayanti yanti cha. So Shankara uses beautiful words here. Kushala brahmavartayam. So kushala brahmavartayam. Brahmavartayam means brahmavartha, means words about Brahman. Kushala, really well. So well worded, or like you can say using good words or really attractive words to describe Brahman. So the site translated as clever in discussing about Brahman. So kushala means in a very good way, attractive way. So they speak about Brahman in very attractive words so that it will attract people. But vrittihinaha, they don't have Brahma vritti. Brahma, so it is not normal vritti that is meant here. Vritti is always there. So Brahma vrittihinaha, they don't have Brahma vritti. And not only that, they don't have Brahma vritti. Suraginaha, they go behind worldly pleasures. Sura means like various worldly pleasures. They go behind worldly pleasures. Such people, they be ajnanataya, they are in ajnanam, and because of ajnanam, even though they may consider themselves to be real self-proclaimed jnanis, yet they aren't realized, they have ignorance, and therefore because of this ignorance, noonam, noonam means again or quick, soon, punarha, punaha ayanti. So they, because of their ignorance, they punaha ayanti, they are born again, and yanti, they die cha also. That means they are born again and die. They will be immersed, or they will be submerged, that's the right word, submerged in the ocean of samsara. So they will be born again and again. They will have birth, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So that will continue for such people because vrittihinaha, they don't have Brahma vritti. Since they don't have Brahma vritti, they have bhava vritti, which means they are going behind worldly pleasures. And though they don't have Brahma vritti, they also proclaim themselves to be Brahmajnanis. They speak about Brahman, they discuss about Brahman. So those are dangerous people. So a person who doesn't speak about Brahman and is worldly is fine. That is fine. At least he is in completely in ignorance. But these are people who think they know Brahman, who speak about Brahman yet are ignorant. That means they are ignorant of their own ignorance, either knowingly ignorant or unknowingly ignorant. So you cannot wake up a person who appears to be sleeping, but you can wake up a person who is sleeping. Person who is in ajnanam can be woken up, but a person who appears to be sleeping in ajnanam cannot be woken up. So such people are people who appear to be sleeping. They are sleeping, but they don't accept that they are sleeping. Since they don't accept they are sleeping, therefore we cannot awake or waken them. So they may act as if they are realized saints. So we have to be careful about such people. So Shankara is giving here a warning that if we have to realize Brahman, we need sama vriddha paripakva of vritti and not mere words. So that is the reason why Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, like when one pandit came to Dakshineshwar, the temple, and he started reading, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa asked him to read a Bhagavatam. So the pandit read Bhagavatam. At that time, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa asked him, have you got the command from Ishvara to speak about God? Then he said, no, I haven't. So Sri Ramakrishna said, then you shouldn't do it. So that means Sri Ramakrishna found that his words were only mere words. They didn't have the power of Ishvara. The words were not from his experience, but it was just from his intellect. So mere words cannot take us to Brahma Jnanam. So Brahma Vritti alone can take us to Brahmajnanam, and a person who is a jnani will not speak. So there is a beautiful beautiful statement made in one of the movie of Rajnikant titled Baba, where he introduced a lot of spiritual concepts since he is a devotee of Mahavatar Babaji. So there it says, a person who knows will not speak. So a person who knows will not speak. Why will he not speak? Because he cannot speak about Brahman. He can only direct a person to Brahman. So, Maunam Vidhvana Bhushanam. A person who knows will not speak, because he knows that speech is futile. So he will speak only when needed and when completely necessary. So there is also a statement of Manu, Na Prashtaha Kaschichit Bruyatam. Unless you are questioned, do not speak. So a person who knows will not speak unless it is very essential, unless there are devoted disciples, devoted devotees asking him to speak, they will not speak. And a person who doesn't know will not stop speaking. So a person who doesn't know will always speak. So if you find people speaking about Brahman and shouting, like quoting scriptures and all those things, then you can very well rule out that such a person is a Jivan Mukta. He cannot be a Jivan Mukta because we cannot speak about Brahman. We can only direct or show or guide a person to Brahman. We can never show Brahman. So it doesn't matter. Then we don't need to get confused that okay, Amma and others are speaking. So here it just means that a person, a Jivan Mukta, might or might not speak, but there are people who would speak about Brahman, but they are far away from Brahman, far away from realization, because they don't have Brahma Vritti. So we should never fall under the clutch of such Mahatmas, or such false gurus, and we shouldn't become ourselves such false gurus. We shouldn't gain or have the false knowledge or false faith that I have realized. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next day, which is a very beautiful shloka that Ramana Maharshi used to quote always. Hari Om.